And we're back live on the Solon Sports 1340 Fox Sports AMWHAP Hopewell. What's going on, Tri-Cities, Petersburg, Richmond, Verina, Henrico, Williamsburg? What's going on, University of Richmond? What's going on, University of Virginia, Virginia University, excuse me, Charlottesville? What's going on, Virginia Tech, Virginia Beach, Hampton, Norfolk, Newport News? What's going on, Accomack, North Carolina? What's going on, people? It's Friday. It's the Solon Sports. I am your host, Jay Chris, and the fellas are definitely with us. They are with us, but we're talking today. We're talking PBC, Deontay Wilder. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. It's a lock-up Friday, so you know what that pertains. We're going to be locking some things up this weekend. And it doesn't even have to do with sports. You can lock up anything you want. So without further ado, let me bring in the fellas. We got Wally, we got Mike, and we got Micah. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, y'all? I would do what it do, what it do when you do it. You get
exactly
what you're doing? What it do? What it do?
What
it,
hey, make sure you call us up 347-637-3859. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, MySpace, Black Planet, Mi Gente, Snapchat, Google Plus, Periscope, and all
that.
What's
my Mi Gente? What's my Gente?
If you don't know, then it's too late for you.
Gosh darn it! I want to know. I gotta turn on my Babbel app now. To those who don't know,
if you're not on Mi Gente, it's too late for you because you know it's like it was during the Black Planet days. So don't even worry about it.
Oh man,
yeah, I miss Black Planet.
You know how girls get on Black Planet when they get a little bubbly. Gospel according to Kanye West.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the weekend, man. We got the British Open, which is more Jay Chris's forte about golf. Phil Mickelson almost making, breaking a record in golf that never been done. He's still leading after two rounds. We got the second half of baseball that started off this weekend. So I know Wally's got a JMO. I mean, these contracts in NFL. We talked 3 weeks ago about the contracts in the NBA. I mean, Justin Tucker just got $16 million. We're talking about an idiot kicker. I mean, I'm not saying he's an idiot. I'm just saying, in the words of Peyton Manning, we're talking about a kicker who went out and got all junked up the night before. $16 million for this man. And, you know, the guy I tried to put over, Jay Chris and guys, for a couple of months, and I kind of got knocked down to my senses and knowing that at any given moment, at any given time, our world heavyweight champion, the last hope we really have as of right now for an American boxing heavyweight champion, if he takes a certain fight that Jay Chris and I think if he took, he would lose. So he has to go out tomorrow, in my opinion. And we'll talk about it, Jay Chris. and show and prove. So I'm excited about today's show. It is Lock It Up. So shout out to King Vaughn Jr. 720 on the Twitter as well.
Absolutely. I forgot I muted my for a second. Yeah, this fight going on this weekend, it's going to be very telling. You know, I was thinking about this fight, and when we spoke earlier today, I said, you know, it's a kind of a ho-hum fight. But he's fighting somebody with a lot of experience. Deontay Wilder's fighting with a lot of experience in the heavyweight game. You know, it's one of those fights that if he overlooks his opponent, which is Chris Areola, he could mess around and see that mat. None of us expect Deontay Wilder to lose it. None of us do. But Chris Areola has experience in the fight game. He's not one of these guys that we haven't heard of. You know, he's been around the block. All right. He could see the mat. If he overlooks this fight, he could see the mat.
So you said that, right? And I guess we start off there. And as you said, I don't think any of us is picking against Deontay Wilder. If you're picking against Deontay Wilder, speak now, forever hold your peace. Brewer. All right, so lock that up right now as the crew locks up the world. Was he the WBC champion or WBA? I get confused, J. Chris. The WBC, Micah, you supposed to be on the ones and twos with the computer. Is he the WBC or the whatever belt he
has? It is the WBC World Heavyweight title.
Okay, I thought he was the WBC champion. So go ahead and lock that up right now. King Vaughn Jr. tweeted out the whole crew picked Deontay Wilder to win tomorrow. But I don't know, J. Chris. I don't think that he overlooks anybody. I think he has that. The problem with Deontay Wilder is, in my opinion, I like the guy. I like the guy, like the person, the man that he is. But I have one problem with his character that I have a problem with, and that's he wants to be rich and famous before he actually does the job to become rich and famous. If you understand what I'm saying, if you picking up what I'm putting down, you know what I mean?
That's like Broner, like Adrian Broner, like Adrian Broner.
Almost the same. You're absolutely right. You know, so what is he? 37-0, 36 knockouts. He dances. He plays too much. I will give him one thing that I love about any tall fighter, guys, and that's he uses his jab. But
yeah,
I don't think Chris Areola has any kind of power enough to stop. And I don't trust the chin of Deontay Wilder. Okay,
yeah.
But maybe J. Chris, maybe I'm wrong, but I think if Areola hits him, it's like, okay, next. I don't think Areola has the power to make him see the mat.
Areola got pop. He got pop enough to knock him out. I know that. But
okay.
We're talking about the whole different beast. He got the pop, though. Areola got pop. Don't you forget that Areola, Chris Areola, at a time, you know, people deemed him one of the up-and-coming heavyweights.
I laugh when they said that, though.
I'm just saying, but that was a weak. I mean, it's heavyweight division, so weak. But you know what I mean. But at the time, he was being one of it, so he can. I mean, Deontay Wilder's chin isn't anything special. So I think Areola has the ability to knock him out. Will he knock him out? I don't think so. I don't think he's skilled enough to beat a Wilder. But if he gets him clean, he can definitely drop him. I definitely see that.
Is it fair for us to say that his chin is suspect when he's technically never hit the mat?
It's suspect because every hit seems like he's dazed. That's why it's suspect. Let's be real in the situation. I like Deontay Wilder. I hope that he does become that next big heavyweight. But at the same time, he's been coddled a little bit in terms of the competition he's seen so far. So I don't think that he has been to see a guy who can really make him hit the floor. But all I'm saying is when I see him fight, I know when people hit him clean, he don't look like he takes the punch pretty well. I know that much.
No, he doesn't.
When you see you see other heavyweights, and for all the jokes that I know I make about Klitschko, I swear Deontay Wilder is more groggy over one punch than Klitschko's ever been. And Klitschko has a bad jaw. He has a bad chin, too. So I'm just saying.
All right. Speaking of Klitschko, we saw our friend Brian Jennings put a couple shots in on Klitschko. But, you're absolutely right, Wiley. I agree with you. If Areola has the experience, he has some pop in there. Like I said, I don't think any of us expect Wilder to lose this fight. But
I'm going fourth round knockout. I still ain't heard a lock it up. I still ain't heard a lock up soundbite yet. But I'm going fourth round knockout. Anything over that,
it wasn't loud enough.
You better lock it up. Lock it up.
It is the heavyweight division, right? So it's supposed to be fairly quick, right? I don't
and
know
it's
if it's
a short fight,
rounder, though.
But it's short notice by Areola also. Remember, this fight was put together after – who the heck was he supposed to fight, Jay Chris, that hurt his knee?
I'm trying to remember who he was supposed to fight. I can't think. I'm looking it up right now.
But this fight was put together, I believe, Wally, in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
No more than a month. I don't think Areola had a chance to prepare for this fight. So that's another reason why I'm calling fourth round.
Is Areola – I haven't said Areola – is this – how is his conditioning right now? Did he come in shape? Because he always comes in out of shape. Is he in shape?
We'll find out tonight at the weigh-in, right? Because we really don't
know. Yeah, tonight. The weigh-in depends.
And that's another thing with Areola. He goes back and forth with his weight all the time, too, and his conditioning.
He likes burgers. He eats burgers.
Areola never looks like he's in shape.
I know. He's never looked like he's in shape, man. That's a problem. He's always like a little fat chubby dude in the boxing ring.
Remember the Ultimate Fighter Championship when Rampage Jackson on there, and he kept calling my boy titties.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
That's Areola. That boy got boobs for days.
He does. I'm saying, like, I don't. It's hard for me to pick a heavyweight, you know, to win when you look like that. I'm not trying to be mean, but that's just
right.
Hard, hard.
Like Larry Holmes, flabby and sick.
Yeah, like Larry Holmes. I was like, oh my god, you're destined to be knocked out, man. You're just destined to be knocked out.
So, 637-3359. Yes, sir.
Well, my question was this. It was Alexander Povetkin.
Yes.
Povetkin.
Yes.
And he looked like it was a combination. It wasn't the injury so much as was he failed a drug test. So, what was special about Alexander Povetkin? Was this going to be a real opponent for Deontay Wilder? Maybe this is just me, and of course I am learning from the wise men here. After 36 fights, that's 36 fights, shouldn't you be respected at some point? Like, with all his 30, because, I mean, you can only fight who you can fight in your era.
Are you talking about Povetkin? Are you referring to Povetkin?
No, he's referring to Wilder.
Yeah, I'm referring to the Deontay Wilder. I mean, you sit there, you fight 36 fights, and you win mostly all of them except for one by knockout. I mean, you can only fight who you can fight in your era, just like basketball players, football players can only play who they play in their particular era.
I don't think none of us are knocking Deontay Wilder. Now, I say this much to you, and I say this for any kind of boxing, and this has been over the years. And Jay Chris, please stop me. I give you more of the boxing knowledge more than me. When it comes to boxers and their records like this, they fought a bunch of – I never even heard of Deontay Wilder before he was 32-0. So that tells you right there that he never – I'm being legitimate. I had never heard his name until I seen him on TV, the fight before he fought the Canadian guy, the guy he won the belt from.
I know you're talking about. Yeah, I know you're talking about. Laverne.
Right, the fight before he fought him was the first time I'd ever heard his name. And it's like that with a lot of fighters. Canelo Alvarez is like 50-something wins. No one heard of him before he had 45-something wins. You know what I mean? That's just
how
boxing.
It takes time for these guys to get into the limelight. You know what I mean? I mean, they fight these early fights. You know, I saw a few fights that Deontay Wilder fought before he fought Stavern. So I knew a little something about him. But you're absolutely right. They fight. They have such a road. They have a big road to make a name for themselves. And it goes back to what you said earlier, Mike. How you feel like he's more interested in making himself rich and famous than being great. It's kind of because in the fight game, you have to make a name for yourself to make some money. And if you're loud and boisterous or something like that, you know, then people are going to want to see you either win or lose or see you back up what you're saying. After he fought Stavern and became champion, you know, he had to even prove more that he belonged there, because like you said, a lot of people didn't know who he was. So yeah, and when it comes to, especially in the heavyweight division where there's not a lot of competition out, not a lot of big competition out there, especially in the United States. Unfortunately for him, you know, you're not going to have a lot of I guess I'd say eyeballs. Not a lot of people going to know who you are, because the people you're fighting aren't really that popular either. So, you know, I mean, 32 fights in, and then it's like, oh, who is this guy? You know what I mean? Whereas you had somebody like Povetkin, who fought a few guys that, you know, we've known his name for a while. And it would have been nice to see that fight happen. But we've known his name for a while, but he's over in Europe. So he's fighting fights over in Europe. I don't even know if he's fought any fights in the United States, to be honest with you.
I don't think so.
No, he hasn't fought any fights in the United States. So we know about this guy over in Europe because the champion for so long was in Europe with the Klitschko's. And then we hear about, you know, people going over to fight this guy and stuff like that. His only loss was to Klitschko, which was Vladimir Klitschko. So, you know, when the champion is somewhere else, it's hard to get notoriety over here. Whereas in the middle divisions, you have so many different fighters. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand the weight class where, you know, a fighter might be two weight classes or three weight classes below somebody else, but you're just thinking they're the same weight. Oh, I want to see this guy fight this guy. It never happens, but you hear these names. So, I mean, that's one of the biggest problems with the boxing game right now, and that the fact that you know, why, I hate to take it to UFC, why UFC tends to have a better product, or it tends to seem like they have a better product, because, of course, UFC is a league, whereas boxing is just a world-governed organization. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, you know, that brings me to another question, guys. Should boxing, you know, you have the WBA, you have WBC, should the boxing association, should they start to merge themselves together into one major conglomerate? And that where, well, you can box in this state, you can't box in this state, you can box in this country, you can't box in this country, you know, should they try to create some kind of league, some kind of actual boxing organization so they can have proper promotion and get their sport back to its prominence? Because boxing, I mean, when you were world heavyweight champion for about, what, 50 years or so before the advent of football and basketball, seriously, for about 50 years, if you were the world heavyweight champion of boxing, you were the man, period.
Yeah. No, I think it's fine. I think it's good. I mean, the problem you have is promoters. You got promoters, you got rival promoters. That's more the issue, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, we've always had separate belts and whatnot, WBC, without, you know, and unified it, like Mike Tyson did back in the day. So that's always been around. But I just feel like, you know, with promoters and whatnot, not people, not having individuals be able to fight certain, you know, fight each other, or you got promoters worried about their overall cash cow, so they're not saying, okay, I don't want to have Thurman fight, you know, someone else. If they feel that Thurman's their cash cow, they're not going to have Thurman fight a guy that you probably want to see him fight, two young up-and-coming boxers, because they want to hinder one of those boxers. So to me, to me, boxing the way it is fine. It's just that for me, I think the promoters play a part in that. And if they didn't, I think the boxing would be way better, you know, other than like being beefing over some petty stuff.
See, you're absolutely right, because that's, we look at, you know, Bob Arum, we look at Don King, we look at right now, and Oscar De La Hoya, in my opinion, who these three guys I've mentioned have stopped their fighters and have coddled their fighters over decades, and either taking money from them, not making boxing what it is, and then you look at another up and coming group like Rock Nation that quote unquote said they were going to try to change that, and it's still, they're doing the same thing as well. When you look at guys like they have on their roster, like an Andre Ward who has yet to fight a big fighter, and this is what I don't understand. And this is what I don't like about boxing, and why I think UFC or MMA, for that matter, gets a better public representation, is that when a fighter says in MMA that's who they want to fight, then the public pushes for it. Or if they ask that question, they answer that question. I get sick and tired of being sick and tired every time Max Kellerman or whoever interviews, you know, a boxer after a fight about another fight, they go, well, I got to talk to my promoter first. You know what I'm saying? If you just put the pressure on your promoter by publicly saying what you want, then that'll happen. But the deal is, Mike, is that they don't want that. They want to keep making that money. I believe me and Jay Chris had a conversation off air about one Danny Swift Garcia. You know what I mean? And how much he has been completely coddled like a baby, like a newborn, and the fights that he has had. And I like Danny Garcia, to be completely honest with you, but I also know that he has not fought the stiffer competition that's out there. He's fighting guys like Paulo Malignaggi, and where he gets tired in the eighth, ninth, tenth round, and it looks like the fight turns because he's very strong in the first five or six rounds. And until boxing gets out of its own way, it's going to continue to be that sport that us traditional fans hold higher. It's like baseball, where we know the true America's pastime today, or the favorite sport in America, is the NFL, but yet we still say baseball is the America's pastime. You know what I mean? And that's what's beginning to happen with boxing, in my opinion, there, Jay Chris.
Yeah, to speak to your point about Danny Garcia, he disappointingly has not seen a lot of the stiffer competition out there. I mean, some of the guys that come to mind that he fought, an old Zab Judah, an old Paulie Malignaggi, an older Lucas Matisse.
Right.
You know, I got to look at the weight classes.
Didn't he fight Porter? Didn't he fight Porter to like a split decision?
He beat Lamont Peterson, and he beat Robert Guerrero, which is not easy.
Yeah. He beat Carr.
that was a unanimous decision there. So, I mean, even though he hasn't fought, we probably want to see him fight the Bronners, the Thurmans, the Porters, the Crawfords. He kind of it's forgettable that he fought Eric Morales twice. He fought an old Zab Judah, old Matisse, and an old Malignaggi, but he also fought a Lamont Peterson, and he fought a Robert Guerrero. So he fought Ashley Theophane too. Wow, I didn't realize he fought him.
Yeah, he's some good people. He's been some good people. I want to say Eric Morales. Eric Morales is done though.
He hasn't fought in the ring. He doesn't have anything scheduled. So,
yeah.
You know, it's probably time to see Danny Garcia fight again. He probably should be fighting again soon, or he might end up vacating a belt. You know, these belts have their own governing bodies and their own, you know. He probably has to fight again soon. I mean, it's been 7 months since he fought, or just about 7 months since he last fought. So, it could be a rematch with Guerrero in there. He probably could get a rematch with Peterson in there somewhere. I wasn't a big fan of Peterson. I thought Peterson was a bit overrated personally. But I think he put up a good fight.
Well, that's a hometown kid.
that's a DC kid. That's a DC kid. I thought Peterson had his best fight against Garcia, quite honest. I really did.
I thought he won that fight, by the way.
I'm gonna tell you, I don't think he won the fight, and I support Peterson. I don't think he didn't win the fight. To me, he started too late. He got busy. Like, you know, when you judge a fight, this is how, you know, boxing. We all know how boxing is, you know, judged and whatnot. If you want to look at, did he beat up? He beat up Garcia. He did. He beat him up. He got him at the late rounds. He waited till he got tired and beat him up towards the end. But at the same time, he gave Danny Garcia so many rounds off that. Like, he gave him out 5-6 rounds, and then until he started going. So at that time, he was already behind. You know what I mean? So I thought he lost the fight. If we're looking at around the way in the street, they beat up Danny Garcia. But unfortunately, he started too late, and by the time he started, his plan came out there and said, okay, I'm gonna wait till he gets tired. I'm gonna go at him. By that time, it was over. He had lost too many rounds.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. I have to agree with you there. If the eye test is kind of like, you know, you would think Peterson won that fight, the eye test, because he looked better in the fight later on. And that's just the lasting impression. But if you use that logic, Zab Judah looked better in that fight against Danny Garcia later on as well. So,
that's right.
So, I mean, it's – maybe Garcia has a stamina issue. He's not knocking out. Maybe he has a stamina.
I definitely believe that. I definitely think that he gets gassed in fights.
He does.
I don't.
He does.
And I mean, you could clearly see, like, those early rounds against Paulie, he was really dominating the fight. And then all of a sudden, he just faded away. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And in a situation where when he faded, it was like an ugly fade. It was like you almost had Paulie Malignaggi come back here, a guy who lost his side chick to Adrian Bronner, for heaven's sakes. I mean, I'll never forget that conversation, that post fight. But that was my side chick, though. That was the funniest post fight I ever seen.
That was the most embarrassing moment in boxing history.
You're right. It's a lot of them, and that's definitely up there, Dick. Because, like, but I don't even want to bring that back up again. That was just a funny, embarrassing time for boxing right there in that post fight. But we all got him. We all got Dan Chikwane. And I tell you this much, like I said about Daniel Cormier last week, going into that fight against Anderson Silva, and I said, well, he had to come and show improve because of the fight. I like how Hugo said, you know, that kind of make a little bit where he was sad. It was not the fight he wanted, so he kind of just went out there through the motions for the fans. I think it's the opposite, and I don't give that excuse to Dante Wilder. He needs to show improve. And there's that big Puerto Rican out there that you and I think may be the best fighter in the heavyweight boxing division. But unfortunately, I'm as much as I may not like my country right now, when it comes to combat sports in my country, I still want us to be the most and important one in the fight game in the sports business. So Dante Wilder, guys, has to come out tomorrow and show improve. Anything else is just not going to make it. He cannot come out. He cannot get rocked. He cannot have a hard time. He must come out here and completely, as we all just did, and lock him up to win this fight for tomorrow. So what we're going to do right now, Jay Chris, let's take a break. Come back. I got my JMO. I want to discuss about the 30 for 30 last night on Dwight Gooden and the Dale Sherbury 30 for 30. Wally's going to give us some baseball second half information. And then we do our own Lock It Up for the weekend. How that sound, guys? Sound good?
Sound good to me. Let's do it. And keep it locked
right
here at 13:00 a.m. Fox Sports, WHAP. It's the Soul in Sports. We ain't going nowhere. Nobody asked.
If you liked us before, you're going to love us now.
We've brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Honda Small Engines, 1000 Temple Avenue, Colonial Heights. They carry lawnmowers, vacuums, blowers, chainsaws, hedge clippers, gas trimmers, and engine parts. Connors has a full repair shop. Connors Small Engines has been in business over 45 years. They have master brands like Toro, Still, Briggs & Stratton, Kohler, Arians, and Kawasaki. That's Connors Small Engines. They're located at 1000 Temple Avenue. Call 526-7108. And say hello to Murphy the Cat.
Hello, this is Ike Forrest, the gutter man. We do seamless gutters. We make them right on the job. No job too great or too small. Also, we install different gutter guards for your needs, such as pine tags or leaves. Clean gutters is a cinch, and our price is unbelievable. Call me, Ike Forrest, at 640-0798 today for our Christmas and Valentine's special. Give your wife a long-lasting gift this year. New gutters or clean gutters. Call Ike today, 640-0798.
Hey there, this is Alex Scholl with Liberty Firearms and Surplus with all your big boy toys. Used guns, new guns, AK-47s, long rifles, military surplus, silver, gold coins, jewelry, power tools, and generators. All your big boy toys at Liberty Firearm and Surplus, Hopewell Pawn and Loan, 442 South 15th Avenue, across from Wells Fargo and Hopewell. That's Liberty Firearms and Surplus, Hopewell Pawn and Loan, 442 South 15th Avenue, across from Wells Fargo in Hopewell with all your big boy toys.
Commonwealth Dentistry, located at 456 Charles Dimmock Parkway in Clonan Heights and on 4th and Broadway in Hopewell, provide trusted and comfortable dental care for the entire family. Doctors Beltrami, Dixon, and Stafford and their staff provide only the best that modern dentistry has to offer. They use the latest in technology and procedures to provide your care. They specialize in children, family, and cosmetic dentistry, crowns on your first visit, and teeth implants. They keep up with the latest dental procedures and pride themselves on patient care. They accept many dental insurance plans. Call now for your appointment at 520-4088 or in Hopewell at 458-3004. Why Commonwealth Dentistry? They are simply the best. That number again is 520-4088. Or in Hopewell at 458-3004. This is Wynn Hastie. Take it from me. I go there.
Fox Sports Radio 1340.
They're able to step up to the microphone during the hardest of times.
Giving you Tri-City sports.
I live there. That's my home.
I'm a homer.
We're the home of the Wizards, the Orioles, the VCU Rams, the Hopewell Blue Devils, March Madness. Welcome home. This is the new Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Martin Oil Company, 2313 East 100 Road in Chester. They carry fuel oil, kerosene. They take care of heating and air conditioning, plumbing and electrical repair. Martin Oil Company repairs and installs furnaces, water heaters and air conditioners, electric panels, and electrical wiring. Martin Oil also sells topsoil, fill dirt, sand and gravel, and mulch. Martin Oil family, they've been in business since 1925. Martin Oil Company.
For the best in new and used tires in the Tri-Cities, look no further than Tread Center. 1955 Pollenduck Road, just minutes from Fort Lee. We had to guarantee best prices on new tires because our tires are sold at cost. That's huge savings for you. We also have a wide variety of used tires. So go by and holler at Clyde and the family today and tell them DJ Foot sent you and get that special discount. All other tire shops in the Tri-Cities, we just letting y'all know you've been warned. It's a new shop in town, Tread Center, 1955 Puddleduck Road in the Burg.
This is Neil Hounshell from Unity Motors in Petersburg. Are you tired of looking for cars for you and your family? Stressed out, doubtful, scared, untrusting? Don't be. They are some car dealers who truly care about you, and not just your credit score and your Social Security number. Who are we? Unity Motors. Unity Motors wants to know you and what your needs are. Unity Motors is a Christian-based auto dealer in Petersburg. And if we don't have what you want, we'll get it for you. We offer to help rebuild your credit, whether you are bankrupt or just slow paying. We help first-time buyers. We don't want to bury you in payments. We give a 3-month or 3,000-mile warranty on all cars plus zero deductible. If you want to extend it, we can do that. Come on down to Unity Motors in Petersburg, 946 East Wisconsin Street. The phone number is 804-733-2886. 804-733-2886.
Fox Sports Radio 1340.
They're able to step up to the microphone during the hardest of times.
Giving you Tri-City sports.
I live there. That's my home.
I'm a homer.
We're the home of the Wizards, the Orioles, the VCU Rams, the Hopewell Blue Devils, March Madness. Welcome home. This is the new Fox Sports Radio 1340.
We're back live on Fox Sports 1340 AM, Hopewell, WHAP. This is the Soul in Sports. And the break is over, so I had to bring the guys back. I pulled a Mike Knox on that one. Remember those days, Wiley? Where's Wiley? Come on, Wiley, talk to me. Unmute yourself.
You saw me coming.
I pulled a Mike Knox on that one, Wiley.
Okay, Wiley. So Wiley needs to lock.
You lock it up. Lock it up.
You gotta lock that up, man. Lock it up, Wiley.
I don't know. Wally, lock up Wally, king of the mute button, to himself. Wally be staying with Wiki and himself.
Lock it up. No, you lock it up. Lock it up.
I hope Wally didn't pull a different type of Mike Knox and fall asleep. I'm just saying. Y'all know Mike fell asleep on my show one time, right?
Oh man.
Way back.
Did you really do that, Knox? You fell asleep on the show?
Yeah, I did. I know. I mean, it wasn't the show was boring. It was just, you know, I passed out. It's one of them days.
We went to break, came back. I said, yeah, so what do you think about that, Mike?
Man, I tell you.
Oh, snap.
So that's always classic me. I always get on back about that. But we're back on Soul and Sports, 1340, Fox Sports, WHAP. We were talking PBC over the weekend. We have Summer League in full swing. And I just want to put it out there, since I am a 4-for-4 Philly guy. Dario Saric is in the building. Well, not in the building, but he's in the country. Dario Saric has made his way over to Philadelphia, signed a contract to play for the Philadelphia 76ers. This year, the 2014 draft pick is now in Philadelphia. The FIBA Europe Tournament MVP is now in the United States to play basketball for the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, when the season begins and ends, will he be a Sixer? I don't know. We never Sixers right now, but Dario Saric has landed. He is here. I think he arrived yesterday. So, yeah, anything I'm excited about the Sixers, I'm happy. I'm happy about that. Ben Simmons, Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, Dario Saric, Jared Bayless, Gerald Henderson. Yeah.
That's okay. We'll figure it out. Days off, too. Only the Sixers take days off in summer league.
Now let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Now, everybody thinks he took a day off, right?
No, the coach told him to.
The coach told him he's taking his day off. What is the point of him playing every game in the summer? And they're not. It's not like they're going to win the championship. They won like two games in the summer league all together. They won one in the Utah, and I think they won one the other day when they blew out the D League Select team without Ben Simmons. Okay, so why get hurt? That's like telling somebody to, you know, a professional athlete to play with a bunch of high school kids that are just on a different level. And, you know, the high school kids really want to prove themselves, and the professional athlete just wants to finish the game without getting hurt.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, for him to following orders, because we know, you know, when you're working for an organization, you do as you're told. why catch flack? Come on, Isaiah. You didn't have to get on him like that. Now, you can't get on him signing autographs, taking pictures with people, but the day off, that comes from the organization. That doesn't come from the player, ever.
I personally think that when someone's commitment level has been questioned, you can't afford to do what he did or take off. And then, like you said, okay, you're following Brown's orders, which is the head coach of Philadelphia 76ers. Okay, but the coach said, I wanted him to be with me. He wasn't with the coach. He was off, you know, and I know, you know, doing what superstars do, you know, I mean, even though he's not a superstar yet, but, you know, guys who perceive to be superstars do, you know, taking autographs, taking selfies, all that stuff. I just think there's a certain level that you have to be at before you can act that way. Now, we spoke about this
now,
off air.
Now, let me tag myself in because you're talking about a 20-second clip. You're talking about a 20-second clip where he was – I mean, I don't even know if it's 20 seconds long, but he was over there signing autographs, stuff like that. But if I watched the game. He was sitting with the coach. He was sitting right next to the coach. He was also sitting there with – who else was over there? Robert Covington was there. Joel Embiid was there.
Has he played at all? Austin was right there with the coach. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's played. Oh, yeah, he's played. I said Embiid.
He's played, too.
He's been cleared for scrimmages and stuff like that, but he's not playing in the summer league. But he is practicing with the summer league team in Vegas right now. He is practicing.
What's the reports of how he looked? How did he look? What's the reports on that?
I haven't heard anything about how he looks yet. You know, I guess they're trying to keep that as quiet as possible. You know, I don't know why. I mean, I don't think he's even going 100% yet in these scrimmages, to be honest with you. I think it's like light scrimmaging and stuff like that. Probably more so to test the foot and make sure, you know, everything is good with that. You know, coming into camp, you know, I expect to hear a lot more and see what's going to happen there. But, you know, just right now it's just light scrimmaging. He's there with the team. And, you know, they keep under their watchful eye and make sure that he's good enough to begin the season with the Sixers.
Okay, well, Wally, you want to blind tag me too?
Go ahead, blind tag. You go ahead. Go ahead.
No. You said you had one as well. So go with
no,
their
oh, oh,
I'm just
oh,
curious
about
what it
that.
Was.
He pretty much said it. Like, for me, it was just, I look at it like I don't have a problem with athletes. I mean, I love Isaiah Thomas, so I feel like, you know, when he said it, I was like, come on, man. I'm trying to just bring news. Athletes sign things. Like, I've seen the sorriest athletes sign stuff.
I don't really have an issue with athletes signing anything. Like, I understand where he's coming from because of Ben Simmons' track record and what happened in college, but at the same time, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I heard the clip, or I saw the clip, Jay Fritz, you know, poked the beer at me by saying, you can't get on for a 20-second clip if it's even that long. How do you hit a clip, right?
Yeah.
So I saw that from that, but I still made my own, you know, I did arguably come out and say, hey, it looks like I might be wrong. He might really be a very talented guy. I've seen talented guys before. He cannot afford the Philadelphia 76ers, the city of Philadelphia, cannot afford to have a Lamar Odom on their hands. They need something bigger than Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom had all the skills in the world, but he never put them together to be the total package that he could have been coming out of Rhode Island. Again, and I will stand by my merit of what I said before. All of a sudden now, all the other pundits want to come out there and say it. If he was so good, I know we already had this argument. No need to dive back into it, you know, swim pool full of liquor, then we dive in. He didn't take his team to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
A guy got to do that.
When I'm watching Summer League, you see the ability. It's like it's awesome.
Absolutely.
And this is my thing about watching Summer League. And Jay Chris, you can attend because you watch Summer League a lot too. I know you are. Summer League is about usually you got players in Summer League who are just trying to jack shots up. And it's an ugly brand of basketball. It really is. Summer League typically is an ugly brand of basketball. But when you watch Ben Simmons, this is the first overall pick. All the dude's trying to do is pass the ball. It's freaking amazing to me. Like, he's trying to get other people involved has a shot. Huh? No, not even that. No, not even because of that. He'll have, like, the way he sets people up, just not even off the shooting part, because he does need to shoot. That's annoying. Like, you need to shoot the ball. Like, that's annoying. that's a whole different argument. But just watching how he's setting people up, it's like you watch him, you say, okay, you could pretty much take this shot. Like, you could dunk this. But you're setting people up for like an easy layup. It's amazing in that regard. And his passing. I'm not going to talk about offensive, what he can do offensively in terms of scoring. His passing really amazes me. And you mentioned Lamar Odom. I love Lamar Odom coming out of Rhode Island. But what he can do passing the ball is something like Lamar couldn't do. Lamar was very versatile, but it's something that he couldn't do. Like, the way this dude's vision is scary.
It's scary.
It is.
Yeah, I personally didn't like Lamar Odom. I mean, I was a big fan of Lamar Odom at Rhode Island up until he hit that shot to win the 8-10 tournament against Temple.
against Temple. I remember that game.
Oh, he got busy. That's my dude.
Lamar was my dude. I was not happy about that after that. But yeah, Lamar Odom, if you compare him to Lamar Odom right now, definitely has better court vision than Lamar Odom, setting people up. Not the score that Lamar Odom is, but that could come. You know, hopefully for the Sixers' sake that comes. You know, he's 19. He's got a lot of time to make that happen, and I'm sure he'll have. The Summer League is really about guys. Guys are jacking shots. They're really trying to impress. They're fighting for jobs. Ben Simmons isn't fighting for a job. He's not.
No.
He's just trying to get a little bit of NBA experience there. And you know that whole thing where he didn't take his team to the NCAA tournament. Yeah, you definitely your number one pick. You should be in the NCAA tournament. But if your team stinks, they don't have another pro prospect on that team, nonetheless NBA. Your team stinks. Y'all ain't. Please, come on, man.
I won't go back in. We don't have the confidence to go back into that. So.
We don't got time either. I don't got time either. I don't feel like having an
argument. We have argued so much. Real fast, Wally, before you take us around the corner, so hopefully a fresh, funky beat on the ones and twos to start getting prepared for you. What's going on with the Washington Redskins and franchising the tag that has now been fully placed upon Kirk Cousins? I say good decision. You cannot give this guy franchise quarterback money without knowing for sure he's the franchise. He comes out this year, wins the division again, has a decent season like he had last. I mean, to me, I think he has the best offense probably in the NFC with that receiving core and that tight end group. If the running game can be any, you know, help to them, the Washington Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys, as much as that really, grinds my gears, should really fight for this division. What's your thoughts about him remaining with the franchise tag and him not getting the bigger contract?
I think it's a good decision. I'm a fan of, like, prove it. You know what I mean? One season, it's not even 16 games. You proved it. He proved it with him probably at 8 good games. So I'm like, I agree with the organization. You know, a lot of fans and even some of the pundits out there would, you know, think that, you know, he deserves a long-term contract being Kirk Cousins supported. I look at it as an organizational situation. Do you really want to overpay somebody who can be a bust or be somebody that we saw, I mean, Redskins fans and other folks have seen pretty much lay an egg in many games? Would you sign that to a long-term deal? So, no, I think that you give that guy an opportunity to earn it. And if he earns it, he's going to get paid more. I mean, everybody talks about it's a risky situation for the Washington Redskins, but it really isn't. If Kirk Cousins performs, you pay the guy, you know you got your franchise quarterback. If he doesn't, then you know that you got to go elsewhere. It's really not that risky of a move.
I definitely agree with you on that one. Wally, second half of the baseball season is starting. What are we looking for? The Birds got a pitcher that's going to start this week?
The Birds, this is a great thing for the Baltimore Orioles. Geraldo Jimenez, goodbye. You're not in the rotation anymore. Dylan Bundy, Sunday, the Orioles' top prospect for many seasons, now gets an opportunity to start. This is a guy who had Tommy John surgery like a couple years ago. He was probably rated the best pitcher in the minors as a prospect. Now this guy is getting the opportunity to start on Sunday. It's been a gradual process for Dylan Bundy. Dylan Bundy was in the bullpen because they had to put him in the bullpen. He had to be on the main roster because he was out of options. So they just decided to put him in the bullpen. He couldn't start because he wasn't ready. His arm wasn't really ready yet. But he was throwing 93. He was getting hit little by little. He wasn't striking people out. And all of a sudden, towards a couple months down the road from the beginning of the season, Dylan Bundy was been throwing 97, 98. And he's regained that fastball. People have to remember, this kid was throwing 99 to 100 before the Tommy John surgery. So he's starting to gradually get back to where his arm was before the surgery. And he looked good. He looked good in the bullpen over the last couple of weeks. So now he's getting a start. He probably won't start like a traditional starter in the league. He'll probably pitch about maybe 4 or 5 innings because he's on an inning count. So he'll probably pitch about 4 or 5 innings. And then they'll probably go with Worrell. I know Philly fans know about Worrell. Vance Worley. Yeah, they know about him. So Worley will probably be the secondary starter. That's what I call it, the secondary starter when Dylan Bundy starts. You got the Washington Nationals. The Nationals right now are obviously the first place to play the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight. You got Steven Strasburg, who was 12-0, going for 13-0. This team needs to keep the momentum going. They have Trey Turner playing. And if Trey Turner plays right, you know, it could be a dicey situation for Ryan Zimmerman. Trey Turner is one of the biggest prospects, and he plays second base. Right now they're going to move Murphy to first base, have Trey Turner play second base. So because Ryan Zimmerman's on the DL. So if Trey Turner plays well, I can see Trey Turner staying with the big club and Ryan Zimmerman on his way out or having a secondary role with this team, because Ryan Zimmerman, for all Nashville fans love him, and he's been a great player for the organization, hasn't been the player that they expected him to be playing first base offensively.
Jay Chris.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was going to ask you. My Cubs start off the second half. Last time I checked, we're winning 6-0 in the eighth inning. I'm not going to waver away or jump off the bandwagon or be the Cub fan that slits his wrist because we were the worst team in the month of June in Major League Baseball after being the best team in baseball for the first 3 months of the season. First 2 months of the season, I'm sorry. How would you do you think, I mean, I know you've been anti what the Phillies have shown the public all year long. Will they finish last in this division and have the worst record in baseball by the season's end?
You talking about the Phillies?
Yeah, the Philadelphia Phillies, brother.
Will they finish last? You know what?
from what they've been doing, no, I don't think they'll finish last. Unless they make some, unless they end up doing something which I would be dead set against, unless they end up doing a lot of selling at the trade deadline, they have a lot of young talent, and I don't think we'll be seeing them doing any selling. At least not a lot of selling at the trade deadline for, you know, to give up some of their young talent. I think this young talent that they have is something they want to build on, and you know, in that situation, you don't get rid of the young talent. Maybe, you know, there's some pitchers that are being talked about that are young and that they're pretty strong arms that, you know, we may see gone. I think that would probably be a bad move, just because, you know, you want the team to grow together. Quite honestly, you want the team to have, you know, some consistency with it. I mean, right now they're about 9 or 11 games ahead of the Braves, I think, maybe 10 games ahead of the Braves, or 10.5. Oh, I'm sorry, 11.5 games above the Braves. They're 6 games behind the Marlins.
I know y'all love that in Philly, the Braves being in dead last.
Hey, man, I'd rather be above the Mets, but, you know, it is what it is.
Okay.
The Braves are – the Braves are bad. The Braves are really bad. And
they're atrocious. They're atrocious. It's okay. They've been really good for 20 years. It's okay.
Yeah, they were really good for a very long time. I'm embarrassed to say, as a kid, I was a huge Braves fan because I didn't really understand the Braves were NL West. So, you know, we didn't really have the rivalry that we have now. The Braves were NL West at the time with the Giants and I was about to say the Steelers, the Giants and the Pirates and stuff like that.
I know my buddy Dominic Canatelli is a huge Phillies fan. When I told him that I was a big Braves supporter, he did not like it. We would go to Braves Phillies games, and I would like not cheers for them. You know what I mean? But like you have to understand, like, because back then, it was the only team that came on TV. I would watch the Braves after wrestling on 705.
I want you to know that. Why would you be mad that the Braves are awesome to watch?
As a Philly guy, and they're in the division, they're always winning. That's just Philly.
Okay.
That's just how some Philly fans are.
Okay.
That's all.
I love the Braves.
Yeah,
they're
always winning. When there's a team that's always winning and your team can't win, it's very annoying.
Yeah, and like I said, they went 20 years. They went 20 years being the best team in the National Football League. I mean, not National Football League, my lord. As I'm pulling up to my stop, I see somebody with a Randall Cunningham jersey, and it threw me completely off. Everybody knows how to
do it. Hey, give him the deuces for me. That's my dude. Randall Cunningham, that's my dude. Give him the deuces for me. That's my dude.
Since I'm speaking of things like that, my JMO today, real fast, guys. We only got about 5 minutes left, but we got to get up out of here. Is on the 30 for 30 that was Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry yesterday. It was the most embarrassing thing, in my opinion, saddest display of greatness I can remember in Major League Baseball. Because being the fan that I am, I grew up to this day, I wore 18. I forced my son to wear 18. When I'm making any player in any game, I don't care if it's 2K to MLB, it's the number 18 because I wanted to be like Daryl Strawberry. I wanted to pitch like Dwight Gooden. I mean, I got the proof of being the MVP of 1994 Paul Robeson High School of how I pitched and how I betted. But to watch that story, guys, it definitely taught me how to be and how I want to be a star and not put that before me. It was said that from high school on, these guys were addicted to marijuana and alcoholics in high school. And by the time they got to the pros, it was just booger sugar and amphetamines every single day. And to hear this story, if you have not seen it, I won't give it all out to you. Please go watch it. This 30 for 30, out of all the ones they had, this was literally the saddest story I've ever seen put on television, with the beating and the prostitution and Dwight Gooden being so high that he missed his own World Series celebration. That's a very sad and troubling, and to the fact that even Dwight Gooden is still struggling today with alcoholism. It's a very, very sad story. The best part about the whole story I saw, outside of my nostalgic feeling of being a fan of that team in the 80s, I was a diehard Mets fan as a kid. I literally still have every single baseball card in plastic of that Mets team, from Milky Wilson, Lenny Dykstra, Ron Darling. I mean, you name it, I have them all. I was a huge Mets fan because of Dell Serber and Dwight Gooden. As a black guy loving baseball in the 80s, there was nobody else better to love. And you look back at the story, you go, wow, I was really in love as a sports fan with drug addicts. In a four-year time period, they both were put in rehab. That's pretty embarrassing, and that's pretty sad. And so with that being said, guys, if you're going to say 30 for 30, Doc and Daryl, I can't say it was one of the best things that ESPN had done for 30 for 30, but it was very definitely the saddest story I'd ever seen in my life. Micah, if you get a chance, Micah, watch that 30 for 30 by Doc and Daryl. It's if you want to watch a pure train wreck, you got one right there, my friend.
I just wanted to watch that movie with Amy Schumer. My bad.
First of all, that movie was good.
Yeah, I know it was.
I know it was. And don't just talk about Amy Schumer because that is Jay Chris's girl crush.
She was actually good in that movie.
I got a thing for Amy Schumer. You better be careful.
Yeah, she talks. I like the way she talks.
I told him he could have her. She does talk dirty, though. I give her that.
She talks dirty. I like that, John.
You can have her. Ain't no one fighting over her.
Don't worry. She's good, man. She talks dirty. I like that. I like that dirty talk. I like that. I'm talking about.
And she's a thickums.
ain't she, though? Ain't she?
Now, come on. Better recognize the talent when you see it. If you want to play Nintendo with C's and Alamo, you better check it out. I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, man. She's definitely a target. She can get it. She's definitely a target.
With all that being said, guys, it's time to wrap up the show. I'm going to give you guys a chance to have a last word. Mike, we didn't hear much from you today, so I'm giving you the first opportunity to have a last word.
Oh, sure thing. I want to do a lock it up. I'm going to lock it up real quick. Lock it up. Wife is out of town this weekend until Sunday evening, and I get to have a fashion weekend
party?
Full of gaming and
party,
beer.
Party.
You better lock it up.
No,
you lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
You say a bachelor weekend full of gaming and beer? That's a dangerous combination.
It's just gaming and beer. That's all. It ain't that bad.
You don't have Pokemon Go, do you? Because, you know, some people fall in love
with
it.
No,
Don't drink Pokemon Go.
I'm a gamer that doesn't like walking.
Don't drink in Pokemon Go. I'm just telling you guys that right now. Mike, you still with us?
I am here.
Oh, I didn't think you were still with us. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike. What you got?
That's fine. I'm going to lock up. A safe and healthy weekend for my crew, for everybody out there right now. I'm a lock up Phil Mickelson winning the British Open. And I'm a lock up, like I said, a fourth round knockout and an embarrassing fashion of Jake Arriola by my man Deontay Wilder tomorrow night on PBC on Fox. I mean, it is a Fox channel. It is the PBC. So let's get our boxing, let's get our premiere, and let's get our championship on. Hashtag lock it up.
You better lock it up.
No,
you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Wally, what you got?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to lock up. You're having a good time. I'm going to a pajama party tonight, so I'm going to have a good time.
What?
House party, too. House party, you know what I'm saying?
Pajama Jammy.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. I don't know what you going to do with that. I don't know what you're going
to
do. I'm good.
I come to clap my hands.
I came to clap my hands. I can't stop my feet.
My feet.
When it comes to the house party, you can't get nothing past me, bro. I'm trying to tell you.
I know that, bro. I'm with you.
All right, well, you want to take us out?
Yeah, what else can I do but take us out? Listen, guys, it's been a great week here on the Soul and Sports with Fox on Fox Sports 1340 AM WHAP. Make sure you guys go to our Facebook page, Soul and Sports. Drop a line, say holla, and we'll holla back, y'all. Listen, do not wake up tomorrow morning or the rest of this weekend and say, I love me some me, and you don't love God first. We out of here, y'all. Bingo!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
Great cash, homie.
This is the Soul and Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soul and Sports, we keep it hot, man.
If you're not down with that,